Texas. Welcome to the Cup of Goodness program. This is Mike Paulson, live at this point from North Dakota. By the time you listen to this, it will be recorded, but hey, I know I'm alive right now. And so for the Cup of Goodness this morning, allow me to make this statement. Will the real Jesus Christ please stand up? Let's go to Acts chapter 7:55. Let's get started this morning. And grab your Bibles, Acts 7:55. But he, meaning Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now that's unique because all the other times you talk about Jesus on the right hand of God, he's sitting at the right hand of God. So the story goes that he was standing, waiting for the Jews to accept what Stephen had to say, and he was ready to come back and be their Messiah. I mean, he really had the grace to do such. But you know the story, they killed Stephen, and obviously Jesus did not come back yet. He went on to talk to Paul and get Paul to go off to the Gentiles because that's what Jesus had told the Jews to do. The question is, who is the real Jesus Christ? Is it from Revelation chapter 6 or is it from Revelation chapter 19? It looks like they're both the same if you're not careful in your reading. Let's look to Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I just wanted to mention that verse because I want people to realize that the elect that would be deceived, if it were possible, it says, they shall deceive the very elect. Well, that's the Jews. That's his people. So the time that when Jesus comes back, is it really the Jesus that they're expecting? And the Jews could very easily be deceived at that time when he comes back. We have no reason to be deceived today. God has given to the Gentiles the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:10. We have no reason to be deceived. We just need to rightly divide and read this thing, and we can know without a shadow of a doubt that Revelation chapter 6 is not the real Jesus Christ. It's the coming of the Antichrist. Revelation 19 is the coming of the real Christ. Revelation 6 and 19 are not the same. Now, we looked at Revelation 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. By the way, there's the satanic trinity. Mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, wouldn't that just be a terrible thing for you to spend your whole life believing that you had the real Christ for your Savior and to find out, A, at the rapture that you missed it, or B, when you die, you find out that you're on the wrong side of the battle when Christ comes back. Wouldn't that just be a terrible, terrible discovery? Now, I say the word now so much. More and more people today are becoming interested in the book of Revelation. Some of the cults, some of the religions, some of the denominations, some of the pastors, preachers, and many of the authors like to write about something in the book of Revelation. People are afraid today. They know something's not right. They know things are going bad that have never happened before, especially in the country itself of America. We've had terrible things happen in this world. Terrible things. But not very many bad things went on in America that involved a lot of people. Those things that are taking place are starting to scare people, so they get involved with somebody who's preaching and teaching out of the book of Revelation. It's probably the easiest book to grab folks with and give them a false rendition of the truth. And probably the biggest thing they can trick people with is Revelation chapter 6, which makes it look like the real Savior's coming back. So let's get started in the process of this program this morning, and let's read through Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 19, and then we'll talk about these things. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bowl, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, you can keep reading through that thing, and it's quite exciting stuff if you think about it. And we have to remember that Revelation, those things are going to take place. Now, you'll see, let's take a real quick check back here to chapter 1, verse 19. And this is where John is told to write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So, we see the future when we look into the book of Revelation. But is it complicated? No, not at all. Anyway, back to the main trail here. That was Revelation chapter 6. Boy, that sure sounds like possibly a Jesus coming back. White horse, you know, and the sword and the conquering and all this stuff. And, oh, it's just quite the chapter. But then we get into Revelation chapter 19, and we see it just a little bit. Is it a rendition, or is it just a different coming? Verse 11, And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Boy, that's quite the chapter, too. Have you read the book of Revelation? It seems like it's a very complicated book, but it is no more complicated than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The book of Revelation takes us through the tribulation four times. That's all it is. It just takes us through the tribulation four times. Four accounts of the second coming of Christ. Wouldn't that make sense? Because you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you've got four accounts of the first coming of Christ. So during the tribulation, in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, Israel will be persecuted, punished, chastised. It'll be some very, very, very difficult times for this world. I've heard the phrase unparalleled and catastrophic events and cataclysmic judgments, which are going to come upon this earth. We have not had anything like that. We've had major hurricanes, we've had major fires out west, major droughts, but these are things that have never happened before at such level. And this will come after the rapture of the church. And real quick, like, when does a rapture take place? I'll tell you exactly when it takes place. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. It'll take place just like it says. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, that's the Jews, but toward thee, goodness. Thee is referring to the Gentile nation. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. There will come a time when the Gentile nation will not want to hear the goodness of God, and God will cut off the Gentile nation and go back to the severity dealing with his Jews. And the goodness of God is only talked about through Paul in the King James Bible, rightly divided. That's the goodness of God. That's the only place you can find that. So as this stuff that I'm trying to teach you becomes more and more unpopular, hateful by most people anymore, when God's done watching that take place, he'll come back. That's the rapture. After that, we have what is called Daniel's 70th week. That's in Daniel chapter 9. You have the time of Jacob's trouble. That's what he calls it in Jeremiah 30. And it's called the time of trouble in Daniel chapter 12. It's quite the period of time coming up. Now, we must understand that Christians from the dispensation of grace will no longer be here during that time. And it's also nice to know, although a lot of pastors are teaching this more and more because they've lost confidence in the coming of the rapture, they've lost their confidence to where they're telling people that the church is going to endure through the tribulation, so they'll have to endure to the end. Well, you won't find Paul teaching us to endure to the end. Why do I keep talking about Paul? Why do I keep talking about rightly dividing? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We want to make sure that when we look to Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 19, that we know which one is referring to the Antichrist, which one is referring to the Christ. Because people today, they're expecting Jesus to come back. That's not a problem. I've said this before many times. They don't want to hear the teachings from the Jesus that's coming back. They want to hear the Jesus that was teaching to the Jews. But they're being prepped with religion. They're being prepped with good works. They're being prepped with building up their own faith. They're being talking about Jesus coming back. It's just growing more and more. The music world sings about it all the time. We have to remember that before Christ comes back, an Antichrist, has to come down as well. And he's got to come down first. Are people prepared to reject this Antichrist in their religions, in their churches, from their pastors, from their books? Or are they following into that path, just like it says in Revelation, for they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, we are not in the tribulation today, but we are seeing more and more miracles, more and more signs, that's what these are, more and more wonders, more and more things that are taking place that Jesus has to be working. But in all reality, those miracles, signs, and wonders are being done by the devil, because those were talked about in Matthew and Mark as signs and wonders. That's the Great Commission. That's history. That's past. God doesn't work through signs and wonders to Gentiles. So all these miracles and signs and wonders that are growing more in intensity and more in number are actually, according to the scriptures, from the devil to try to get people to follow him because he wants to be like the Most High. Well, I have to tell you that if we're not following the rightly divided truth through Paul and realize what it is to be a Christian today, what the truth really is, then people are being deceived and they're being led to the coming of the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 6. They're not being prepped or primed for the rapture, but the goodness of God, Romans chapter 11, verse 22, knowing that the real Christ is going to come in Revelation 19. And in all actuality, Revelation 19, we see in verse 14, where it says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That could very possibly be us. Wouldn't that just be, I've said this before, wouldn't this just be a horrible thing to be on the wrong side? It's what's going to happen. Okay, as we look to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6 to 19, tribulation. Now, Revelation chapter 5 and 6 talks about the seals. Revelation chapter 8 through 11 talks about the trumpets. Revelation chapters 12 to 14 talks about the activities of the Antichrist. And chapters 15 and 19 talks about the vials and the destruction of Babylon the Great and his actual coming. Those are four different accounts of the same event. Preparation for the second coming of Christ, the tribulation. What we can do here with the time we have remaining today, and I know this is going to go into tomorrow as well, just talk a little bit about how, you know, Revelation chapter 6 is an imitation of Christ. Who is the great imitator? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? I know some of the Bibles, they tweak around to that son of the morning, morning star, and all these kind of things. That says son of the morning. That's not morning star. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. See, that's imitation. I will be like the Most High. So that is the devil. That is Lucifer. That is his goal. Always has been his goal, is to be like the Most High. He wants to sit upon the mount of the congregation. He wants to sit in the sides of the north. He wants to sit above the heights of the clouds. He wants to be like the Most High. So he is an imitation. Yet it says here, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? See, he's the greatest imitation, the great imitator himself. He wants to be like the Most High. Now, just a little sidelight trail here. I want people to realize that we are told to follow Paul. We are told to be followers of God. We are told to be followers of Jesus Christ. We are told to follow the churches of God. We are told to be followers of them who through faith and patience. We are told to be followers of them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. These are the things that we've been told. Modern Bibles, which possibly is a Bible you have in front of you this morning, will say, be imitators of God, will tell us to imitate Paul, will actually tell us to be imitators of the Lord, to be imitators of God's churches, to be imitators of those whose faith and promise inherit what has been promised. We have been told, you will have been told to imitate your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You'll find that in all the modern Bibles. Different editions have different things they tweak into there, but those are the changes that you'll run across. Do you honestly think you could live a life that would imitate God? I just have, anybody who would believe that, I wish you would write to me and tell me that you believe your Bible means that you should imitate Christ. Should imitate Paul, should imitate God, should imitate the way of life of your pastor. You truly believe that that word should be imitation or imitate instead of follow. With that question being asked, let me ask you another one. Are you very confident about the Christ that you have received? Remember, Paul's number one concern was this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Paul knew people weren't going to like what he had to say. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Here's his fear. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Do you think you could be tricked just like Eve was? Everybody always criticizes Adam and Eve for what took place. Well, it says here, Paul's fear is lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It doesn't take a bunch of books. It doesn't take a bunch of videos and Bible studies. It doesn't take a scholar It doesn't take any of these. You just a rightly divided King James Bible. You find out about the risen Savior and the simplicity. Not complicated at all. Neither is Revelation chapter 6 or 19, which I'll show you. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul's concern was that you would be led towards Antichrist by all these other gospels and Jesus teachings and all these things. Now, Paul gives a fantastic, great warning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. We've got to be getting close for all this stuff to start taking place based on Romans 11:22. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And the trick to all this is to get people to imitate instead of follow. That's quite a charge, that's quite a statement to make. But when one looks around and looks what's going on in the churches and the teachings and the preachings and all the stuff in America these days and the rest of the world as well, and the way that they handle the book of Revelation, it's no wonder that people are going to be shocked when the Antichrist is finally revealed and then the rapture takes place and everybody's stuck following this Christ that they think is fantastic. But as you'll see, it won't take them long to realize that something's not right here. Now, one more statement, then we're going to do the comparisons of chapter 6 and chapter 19 tomorrow's program. But one more thing I want to throw at you this morning. Maybe some of you are old enough to remember the movie The Lion King. Remember that movie when you were younger? If you look at that thing and you look at how that's got the lion, you got the baby lion, you got the dad lion, you've got Scar, you've got the Antichrist. You see how that whole thing takes place, and when they're done, you know, Scar is fighting. I forgot the name of the little cubby lion. Now he's no longer a cubby lion. He's come back and he's grown up now. That's like the risen Savior coming back to fight Scar. Scar falls off into the lake of fire. I mean, that movie Lion King, I'm sure Disney was not aware of what they were doing, because Disney's not supportive of that teaching whatsoever. But the Lion King is so much a type of the Revelation. I remember watching that thinking, oh, this is an amazing thing. I know what this is all about. Wow. Anyway, we're going to look at something very easy tomorrow. We're going to look at chapter 6 and chapter 19. We're going to compare them both, and you're going to see without a shadow of a doubt that people are being prepared for the coming of the Antichrist, not for the coming of the real risen Savior. And someone who was following that great imitator was following an imitation spirit. It is a devilish spirit. It is a disgusting spirit. It is a dynamic spirit. It is a directing spirit. It is a doctrinal spirit. It is a distressing spirit, and it is a deceiving spirit. They'll be following imitation scriptures. These scriptures resemble the real thing. They receive praise from the religious world, yet they rob their reliability from the readers, and they remove the realities of faith. They'll be imitating an imitation shepherd, an imitation pastor. They'll be imitating their appearance. Their appearance will be professional. It'll be pleasing. But it'll be phony. They'll have an attitude. They cause deception. They create division. They contradict doctrine. And they circulate doubt among their people. These imitation pastors have an appetite. Their appetite's for wealth, appetite for women, an appetite for the weak. These phony pastors have no ability to perceive the truth, they have no ability to preach the truth, and they have no ability to practice the truth. They'll be following imitation miracles, imitation signs, imitation lying wonders. They'll be real, but they'll be fake because it will be by the devil, not by God himself. They'll have an imitation savior. This imitation savior, without the U, S-A-V-I-O-R, was formed in eternity, is feminine, is frail, and is a failure. They will result in imitation salvation. It'll resemble that of the risen Savior, yet it removes the shed blood, reward right then and there for doing good deeds, yet it will result in sorrow. And to follow an imitation Christ will make you an imitation Christian. They appear to be children of God. They'll act like children of God, according to the gospel teachings. They assemble like God's children, but they're not God's children. A phony Christian is not one of God's children. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's not telling depart from doing the wrong things. It's talking about departing from iniquity, departing from Satan, departing from Lucifer, departing from the teachings and the followings of the Antichrist. That's iniquity. We'll talk about that tomorrow.